Lord, we know who you are, we find out who we are. And we ask, Lord Jesus, just to continue that work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Give us revelation that we can live in the fullness of who you've called us to be, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. This morning we're going to read from Romans chapter 1, verse 1, just a small, some short text to begin with. And Paul, writing to the Romans, says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And as you know, we are busy with an identity series, looking into God's word to see what God says about us. And the premise of the series is these two circles. One is what I believe about myself, the stuff that we start to, through life's experiences and whatever, and what we learn, we say, this is who I am. The other circle is what God says about me. And unfortunately, because of our fallen state, quite often we believe stuff about ourselves that isn't what God says about us. And the object in that area, the area that they overlap is great. That's what we want to see, a bigger area there. The area in sector three is where there are lies, and that's also where our sin nature can hide and still cause us to operate out of those lies, those wrong beliefs about ourselves. Wrong beliefs about God, and we behave wrongly because of those beliefs. But what God wants to do by His Spirit's power is bring an alignment between what He says about us. And the more we believe what He says about us, sector one gets bigger, and it eradicates the lies, and it gives our sin nature less place to operate from. And ultimately, Jesus will overlap those things when we see Him face to face. So we're going to continue with that. And we've been looking, every time, each of our identities, we actually find come from what we know about God. And we've looked at, I am his son, he is my father. I am his daughter, he is my father. Today we're going to look at, I am his servant, he is my master. And it's a very, very beautiful and very, very powerful identity for us to live in this morning. And that's the identity of servant. And in Romans, in that Romans passage that we've already read, you see Paul, interesting Paul, a mighty apostle, apostolic anointing, apostolic authority, a guy who wrote most of the New Testament. When he introduces himself, the first thing he says, the first thing on his calling card is Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. And it's very interesting that the men that were so impacted by their intimacy with Jesus, that sense of servanthood, Jesus so influenced them that servanthood was the primary thing by which they identified themselves. And if we look here just in the beginnings of three of the great epistles of the Bible, 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ. James 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. And these guys, when they say, introduce yourself in 30 seconds, like we did in Grow Groups the other day. And it's like, I'm James, and I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And we see the importance of that. So we want to grow in that servant-hearted identity. And we're going to see the incredible blessings that come from that. And these guys wrote, that God anointed them to write significant portions of the scripture. The beautiful thing about servanthood is when we get to know Christ, the value of servanthood is going to rise in our lives because it was so essential. Servanthood was so essential to the person of Jesus, so essential to his expression, his example, and his mission. And so if we want to be like Jesus, servanthood is one of those critical keys. Look at Philippians 2 verse 4. It says, let each one not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was God, basically the scripture saying. But he emptied himself, not stopping being God, but he gave up his place of majesty and glory to come down and to serve. He emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. What a powerful scripture. This is such a foundational scripture of the Christian faith. We're not going to go into much depth today, but when we become a servant, what a badge of honor. Because it's the essence of our beautiful Savior who we seek to emulate and live, let his life live out through us. Jesus taught us about this in Matthew 20:25. And it says, "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first amongst you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Those last few words, that's the essence of our gospel. That's the beauty of the rescue plan of God. That the Son of God, God himself would come in human form to serve humanity. A humanity that had rebelled against him. A humanity that was resistant to him. And he came to love and to save those who were essentially his enemies because of sin. And he laid down his life for them. What a profound statement. I know we all know this. Every Christian knows this. But we've got to pray, Holy Spirit, let this land in our hearts to cause a seismic transformation of our thinking as we grasp the reality of this. It's such an inversion of the sin nature. It's such an inversion of the culture of this age and this world, which is I-centered, me first. What will I do for myself? This is, how will I lay down my life for others? How will I be a servant of others? And it's so wonderfully Jesus. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. But he was a serving King. He was a sacrificing King. And we want that to grip our hearts. He calls us to nothing less. And in this passage, he teaches that greatness is measured by servanthood. And when you're a servant, you're not at the bottom of the pile. It's actually, it's an inverted system of honor. And we want to just get our souls. The Master wants to free our souls from our a little world of self-focused, self-ruled, self-determined life. That we can come into this amazing glory that Jesus, the great servant, lives in. And it's an amazing honor and a privilege to be transformed into that nature. We're going to look at today some of the incredible blessings that are a natural flow on. Not only that we can live as servants, but also we can live in the fullness of the blessing that God has for our lives. We're going to look at how to let that servant be a core identity for us, that we can live accordingly. We're going to look at, and there's quite a, I'm not an, normally an alliteration person, but there's quite a few P's. And we're going to look at the price. We're going to look at the price of being a servant, but we're also going to look at the privilege and the prize that comes when we pay the price and when we become a servant. And there's a few aspects of servanthood, and they also fit into P alliterations. So the first one we're going to look at is the Master's plans. And in Luke 1 verse 35, it says this: "The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And look, your relative Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son in her old age. Although she was called barren, she is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God.' So Mary said, 'Yes, I am a servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." This beautiful account of Mary, when the angel came and said, "God has chosen you to bear forth his son into the world. And the Holy Spirit is going to do a miracle in your body and bring forth a savior into the world." And Mary, to say yes to that, it took incredible faith, because it was something so wildly beyond what she could imagine. It took incredible sacrifice, because she was going to be pregnant outside of wedlock. And that would have come with all kinds of scorn and ostracization. It gave up her freedom, because she was now going to be pregnant. And The angel also told her that bearing this son would bring forth incredible emotional pain. It was prophesied that the sword would pierce her heart. I'm not sure it was the angel or the guys in the temple, but a sword would pierce her heart. She would have to watch the son she loved hanging on the cross. So it was an incredible price. But look at Mary. She says, "I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your will, O God." And she recognizes the price. But what happens when she does that, she lays aside her plans, her dreams, and she buys into the plans and the purposes of God. And the price of being a servant is that we give up our will to the will of another, to the will of a master. But let's think about the master that we give up our will to. He is someone who is perfect in wisdom. He is someone who's perfect in love. He's someone who only operates for the highest good of those who serve him, for the highest good of those who he wants to serve through the person who serves him. And we give up our limited, sin-flawed plans that we can be a part of his incredible plans. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6, what it says. The Lord will make himself available. The Lord will make himself available. Call to him while he is nearby. The wicked need to abandon their lifestyle and the sinful people their plans. They should return to the Lord and he will show mercy to them and to their God, and he will freely forgive them. Indeed, my plans are not like your plans. My deeds are not like your deeds. Just as the sky is higher than the earth, so my deeds are superior to your deeds, and my plans superior to your plans. Come on, what an amazing passage. God says, I've got plans. Give up your sinful plans, your self-centered plans, and take up my plans, because my plans are higher than the heavens. Which plans do you want to live by? I don't know about you, but I want the high plans. I want the sky plans. I want the plans made by the one who sees the whole of human history. And God sees the beginning from the end. I can only see barely round the corner. And I heard a lovely illustration about God's knowledge of the whole course of human history. It's like if you're at a parade and you're standing on a particular corner and the parade's coming round the corner and you can see sort of just up to there, you can see the parade just as it comes past you. God is in a helicopter and he looks down on the whole parade. He looks at what's gone past you and he looks at what's still to come round a numerous corners of the city. He sees the whole thing. I'd much rather have him plan my future than I plan it with my limited perspective, my broken concepts, and the fallen nature. So how beautiful to be able to say, I'll sacrifice my plans, that's the price, but I'm then part of this incredible plan of God. And that's what happened to Mary. She gave up all those things. She became the blessed one who God used to bring into the world salvation for the world. Wow! That's like amazing, and God wants to use us. He wants to use us to bring blessing. And just make our lives so full because they become aligned with his purpose and his plan. He created us. He wired us. He gifted us. He gave us our personalities for his plan, for the high plan, for the sky plan, not for our own selfish plan. And we'll never be all we're called to be. We'll never live in the fullness of all we're called to be unless we take on his plan, the plan of the Creator, the plan of the one who molded us in our mother's wombs, who wrote in a book for our lives. And guys, don't be scared of this, because this is not something God's good. God doesn't force a square peg into a round hole. God made you for the purpose, for the plan that he made you. And I can testify of that. I was just working it out. In 1981, 44 years or so ago, I was challenged by a sermon, and I said, God, I want to know you. God, I want to serve you. And I built a little tree house about 20 meters up a tree. I used to go out there and pray. And found out that God was interested in my life and he wanted to direct my life. And it's obviously a journey where there's times you don't listen. But basically, it was such a joy to come under the plan of one who made me for his purposes. And it's not easy at times. But God takes who you are, even what you love, even what makes you tick, and he writes it into his plan. Just one of the examples was, I've always loved ships. I had bookshelves full of ship books, but I always said to the Lord, why did I never go to sea? I could have been in the Navy rather than the Army and whatever. When I was 37, the Lord said, go to the nations. I felt like it was time I must go to the nations. And I started to pray, and I didn't know what to do. And then a friend of mine who was praying with me said, what do you want to do? And I said, I'd really love to go on one of those Navy, one of the YWAM ships or whatever. They said, why don't you see if that's God? And I phoned up YWAM, and I found out the Anastasis was in Cape Town, and I could join up as a deckhand and go for 3 months. And I went for 3 months, and I was a deckhand, and I just had this most amazing ship experience, steering a ship and being involved with all the stuff. And then God said, stay there. And He got me preaching and teaching and leading the discipleship training school or whatever. It was the most amazing 5 years of my life. I learned so much. But it was all around ships. And God knew, let me stop and just watch my boy. He loves that stuff, and I'm going to use it as part of my plan. And then I'll bring him back. And this has been a whole lifetime of just loving God's plan for my life. When I first started ministry, there's a little African Bible study in Zulu. And the pastor said, we need someone to take that. And I was like, that wasn't what I was planning. But I said, I'll do that. And for 10 years, I had the most amazing time ministering cross-culturally. That group grew and grew and grew and eventually became a church. And I was like, I never saw that, God. That wasn't one. The ship one, I said, oh, Lord, I quite like that. That one, God said, just have this. It doesn't look like much. But it's going to be something so beautiful. What a privilege, what a prize to be in the plans of the Most High, those heavenly plans. Jesus, this was, oh yes, sorry, I'm getting carried away here. To serve, put ourselves in the hands of such a wonderful master is really a no-brainer. It's only the rebel in our fallen nature that resists it, that wants to try and stay in segment three. But when we plunge ourselves into God's will, it's so beautiful. And Jesus, again, was our perfect example. Jesus, in John 5, verse 30, he said this, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. See how he just aligned himself. Though he was God, he aligned himself with the will of the Father, to obey the Father. And then in John 5 verse 20, it says, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing. Those are heavenly plans. It's higher than the earth. God shows us those plans. He involves us in them. What a privilege. Just may the Lord help us with that attitude of surrender to those plans, that we live in the will of such an incredible master. Then the next thing is a couple of them together. God's, the master's protection, providence, and power. Isaiah 52 verse 1 says this, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice. He will make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. This is a beautiful prophetic passage about Jesus. And it's just so beautiful. It says, behold my servant. And that's what we want to do when we hear a scripture like that. We want to look at Jesus. We want to soak him in. We want to soak in that servant heart. We want to catch it. We want it to be contagious to us. We behold the servant. And the Bible says, in whom is my delight? It delighted God when Jesus said, yes, Dad. When he stood in Gethsemane, and this isn't in my notes, when he was in Gethsemane, and he said, God, I don't want to do this. It's too painful to my flesh. But then he said, not my will, thy will, not my plans, your plans. Not these, not down here on earth plans, the sky plans. God, I want those. Give me the strength to obey you. And delight of the Father. The Father says, I'm delighted. The Master, the great, loving, wise Master says, when someone says, your plans, God. God is delighted. He's delighted by that. And then he says, but here it says, look at my servant whom I will uphold. What an incredible promise. When we are serving God, God says, I will uphold you. The Greek word, the Hebrew word there, means to keep fast, to help, to follow close, to take, to hold, to maintain, support. And this is what God, it speaks of God's promise, protection and power. He also says, I will put my spirit upon him. That's just the supernatural power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. God says, if you'll be my servant, I delight in you, but I uphold you, I empower you. I give you what's necessary. When we're serving another master, we're not doing our own work. We're not getting our own salary. We're serving the master, so the master provides. The master protects. The master blesses and anoints. And we want to live in that. Jesus, in John 5 verse 19 says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say, I, the Son, can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Isn't that incredible? God in the flesh, God incarnate, Jesus Christ. But he says, I don't do nothing. I don't do nothing. I do nothing on my own. I can't do it without my Father. And Jesus in his humanity submitted himself to the same situation as us. He had to be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he said, I can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. The command of the Father, the authority of the Father, and the power of the Father. I'm totally dependent on him. Not on my own strength, my own ability. What a beautiful truth. So the price of this is we give up our pride. We can't boast, I am a self-made man. I did this in my own strength. Like Nebuchadnezzar said, I built. This is Babylon who I built. We can boast about our achievements when they're done in our own strength. But we give up our pride. We give up our boasting. We give up that self-sufficiency, that inadequate self-sufficiency and independence. And the prize is supernatural enablement, supernatural anointing, power, help from God in all things. There are so many examples of God's providence, of his anointing on the disciples, on the deacons, on the believers. And we want to live in that power. There's so many where God, Jesus said to Peter, go throw your line in the water and you'll find the silver in the fish's mouth. Supernatural providence. And there's so many testimonies of that. We haven't got time for all of that. And then also protection. God will protect us. And in this crazy, dangerous world, how wonderful to know God is protecting us. And I haven't preached on this passage for I can't no remember last. I just love this passage. 2 Kings verse 6:15. It says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early in the morning and went out, and behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I like this. These guys had come to get the prophet and his servant, and they're surrounded, outnumbered. And the prophet said, no, relax. We are more. There's more with us. They're outnumbered. And then he says, then Elijah prayed and said, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. How beautiful just to look into the spirit realm and see that angelic forces all around, chariots of fire, completely outnumbering the enemy. We have nothing to fear from the enemy. It's so beautiful to know God's protection. Mark John was telling me a testimony that he heard of a Navy SEAL who was in an ambush. It's a Christian guy, and he had his cell phone in his shoulder pocket. And they couldn't have any numbers on their cell phone, so a cell phone can't speed dial or can't butt dial because there's no numbers on it. But while they were in this firefight, his phone somehow miraculously dialed his mom, who was in a prayer meeting at the time, and she heard the firefight going on, and her friends started to pray for them, and God miraculously got them out of the middle of the ambush. And that's just one of the many examples of God's incredible provision and protection when we are his servants. How wonderful to live in those blessings. So we give up our pride and our self-reliance, and we live under the protection, the providence, and the empowerment of a great master. And then the next one is the master's praise. And it says in John 13, verse 12, it says, "And when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garments and resumed his place. And he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? So you call me teacher and Lord, and that is right, for so I am. If then, your Lord and teacher, I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you do these things, you will be blessed. Or you will be blessed if you do them. If you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." How beautiful Jesus' example, and this beautiful picture of just foot washing. Could there be, there's no more humbler a thing, especially in that culture, as a picture, a metaphor of serving one another. And Jesus said, "You see, take my example. You know it now. If you do it, if you live it, if you put it into practice, if you serve, you will be blessed." And there is a blessing in the doing, just in the very act of serving, there is a blessing. The act in itself is its own reward. And Jesus said, if we be like Jesus, that's reward enough. But the Bible also says that God rewards that. So not only is there a reward in itself, but there is an additional reward that God blesses. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 10. God proactively recognizes service. It says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in the serving of the saints, as you still do." Isn't that God sees it. Everything you do in serving the saints, God's got, yeah, I see that. I register that. I recognize that. I love that. It delights me. And he proactively rewards. This scripture, sorry, I'm just losing my train of thought here. Beautiful thing is here it says, when we serve, not only are we blessing people, but we're honoring God. Because he says, "The honor to my name." So when you serve, in serving others, you honor me. That's the higher. That's a higher reward. It's lovely that people are blessed. It's lovely to see people blessed. To know that God is getting the honor. When we're doing it in Jesus' name, people are saying, "This is because God is beautiful. This is because God serves and meets the needs of humanity." We honor God when we serve. This passage just talks about serving the saints, but we know it's more than that. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith." So it starts within the house of faith, but it's actually to everyone. God wants to serve and love and bless and show mercy to a hurting world, even the world that does not yet know him. And Jesus says, if you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. We see Jesus' example also in John 12, verse 25. And it says there, "Whoever loves his life loses it, but whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." When we start to follow Jesus, we are following a servant. And he says, "Where I go, I want you to go. Into the dark places, into the hard places, into the resistant places, into the places where they don't love you, where they will oppose you. But you follow me. Where I go to serve, so will the servant go." And then he says, "If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." You see this beautiful, that other passage, the Hebrews passage, says that when we serve, we honor God. Bible says here, when we serve, God honors us. Wow, there's mana. There's an incredible thing. What a blessing that the God of heaven, the Lord of heaven and earth, when we act Wash someone's foot, do some simple act of service. God honors us. Incredible, incredible. The great servant serves others through us, and we enter into his honor, enter into his glory. There's nothing that we shouldn't be willing to do. And it might be cleaning toilets here on a Saturday night. It might be making food for your neighbor. It might be helping someone get their driver's license. So many little ways that we can serve people around us. Washing, mowing lawns, bringing food, whatever it might be. And obviously, the greatest thing that we can do for anyone is introduce them to Jesus Christ. But we will receive honor and praise from the Father. The price is that we give up the praise of men. The Bible says you can't please man and please God. People, even though you're serving people, you'll still be hated. You'll lose the praise of men. You'll lose the popularity. That's the price. But the privilege and the prize is the honor and the praise of your Heavenly Father. Isn't that incredible? Matthew 25:19 says this. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents as more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Here we see the master's providence. He gave them what they needed, the talents to serve God, to multiply, to increase what God had given. But what a beautiful thing at the end. He says there, well done, good and faithful servants. To end life and stand before the Father and for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's going to be the greatest joy any human being could experience. The honor of the Father, the thanks of the Father, the delight of the Father as servants. We want to have an identity as servants. And we want to live out of that identity. That's a culture we want to engender here in Solid Ground as a community. We want it to be a serving community. We want to encourage everyone. If you're part of a local church, serve. At least like two hours a month in some place, some area of ministry, whether it's set up a kids' church or youth or whatever. Serve the body. And then serve where God calls you to serve in the culture around you. We don't want to be a cruise ship. We want to be a battleship. With every hand on deck, everyone going, we're a community of people who identify with the great servant. We are servants. And we'll serve Jesus. A shout out to all of those who are living in that. May God multiply that culture. May God grow that culture. Starting with the saints. And then on beyond that. A bunch of blessed servants. Honoring the Father. As we serve others with our lives. Laying down our lives. And then and living in the honor of the Father. Living in the delight. Living under the smile of the Father. Wow. Could there be a better plan for our lives? Could there be anything more that we could ask for? So much better than anything the world can offer us. And just in closing, I love these lyrics from an old 1980s Christian balladist, Don Francisco. And I want to close with these words, 3 verses. It's been sung to Christians. I don't care how many buses you own, or the size of your sanctuary. Doesn't matter how steep your steeple is, if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot and put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor's superpowered or your program's always new. What you need is love and truth, and men are going to come to you. Doesn't matter if you know the Bible, if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I've said? This verse always gets me. Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are your children. We thank you, Lord, that we are the recipients of incredible inheritance and blessing. We have an incredible identity in you, Lord. But thank you today for this wonderful concept of the fact that we are your servants. You are our master. And Lord, you've left us here on this earth to honor you by serving others, Lord, by laying down our life for the gospel, for the salvation of the world, Lord, that you are working through your Son. And I just pray for us as a community, Lord, may this characterize us. May this be our culture, Lord. May we embrace this identity, Lord. And may we live out of this identity, Lord. Living in obedience, living in servanthood, and then living in the fullness of these blessings, of all these privileges, of all the great prize that comes with the servant identity. Help us to be the church you want us to be, Lord. Help us to love and serve in a hurting world. Give us your heart, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship him.